Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Luke chapter 24, especially these verses. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is our text. Some days, maybe today, maybe earlier in the week, maybe in this coming week, we look up with our eyes glued to the sky, and we just utter the short and simple prayer of longing. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Our hearts cry out for his return. We cling to the words of the angels who said that he will come again in the same way that the disciples saw him go into heaven. And we plead that today might be that day. We're ready, Lord. You don't have to wait for us. We're weak, we're weary, we're bruised, we're battered, we're in need of the rest that only you can bring. We pray with groans too deep for words, sometimes with heartache, exhaustion, even tears. Come, Lord Jesus, because life is more than we can bear. Is that a prayer of faith? Or a plea of desperation? Or maybe both? Where is the Lord when we're lonely, or in despair, or discouraged? It's the question of those who mourn, of widows and orphans and families who grieve. I know on Mother's Day, for all the joy of motherhood, it's the question of some who are here for whom motherhood never happened or hasn't yet, or their mothers are gone, other sorrows. It's the cry of those who are lonely and broken, divorced, friendless, downtrodden. For those who already feel alone, Ascension Day might be tinged with sadness, as though our Lord is among those who have forsaken them. The one who descended has now ascended and seems so far away, high above our troubled lives. Come, Lord Jesus, for we are those who are tossed about on the ocean of life, and we need an anchor to secure us. The words of the hungry, the homeless, the unemployed, of those whose bodies have grown old, those who are unemployed or impoverished. Come, O Lord, for we need your wisdom in our families, in our marriages, in our work, in all that we do. We need direction, we need guidance, we need assurance. We flounder in these troubled waters. But the one who calmed the storms seems so far away. Come, Lord Jesus, for the world is evil, the devil is active, and we are sinful. The world pressures us to compromise, to minimize, to despise the faith. We are mocked for your sake. The devil constantly tempts us with that which is pleasing to the eye, and our own spirits grow weary in this nonstop battle with sin. It seems like the devil, the world, and our flesh consider Jesus' ascension a sufficient excuse for misbehaving. When the master is away, the mice will play. We may wonder if it's better to be with our Lord, then why are we left like this? Why the ascension? I'm sure we're not the first ones to ask that question, to wonder these things. I'm sure that in the early church they must have wondered the same thing. If only the Lord were here. St. John, exiled on the island of Patmos. St. Stephen, being stoned to death, St. Peter cast into prison, St. Paul, how shall we count the ways, shipwrecked, beaten, whipped, stoned, hungry, cold, sleepless. How often might they have prayed, "Come, Lord Jesus." And yet it's interesting, when we read the accounts of our Lord's ascension, his ascending into heaven isn't greeted with sorrow or with tears. It isn't a moment of dread, as we might imagine. The angels who are in the sky, they were not some consolation prize. "Well, Jesus is gone, but you got two angels here." No, those angels proclaimed the promise by which the church has lived ever since. The same Jesus who ascended is the one who will come again in the same way. And the book of Acts makes clear that Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, resurrected, and ascended, is not absent. That's a point I want to drive home. The ascension is not the absence of Jesus. It doesn't mean that he's napping. He hasn't gone up to Maine to the lake, which is a fine place to go. Elvin, that was not pointed at you. In fact, when we think of him ascending into heaven, we have to remember that heaven is not mentioned as a geographic location to which Jesus went, as if you could go to Boston or to heaven, as if he's in a land far, far away. It's not like that. Rather than ascending indefinitely into, as if to orbit the earth or explore the limits of the universe, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. A cloud, a symbol of the divine majesty, showing that the one who was in the flesh, risen from the dead, is taken up into the majesty of God himself. Jesus might not be with his church visibly as he had been, but he would be with his church. He will be with us as our God and our King. You remember his promise. We'll hear it again at the end of the service. "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Every day, every moment, everywhere. And this is why the disciples worshipped him. This is why they went with great joy to the temple in Jerusalem, because they knew that he wasn't gone. In fact, ascension is not the ending. Ascension is only the beginning. With his ascension into heaven, the church is ready to begin her mission. I heard one pastor say recently that when Jesus really wanted to get things going on earth, that's when he ascended into heaven. Remember what he said. "Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." You know, the disciples weren't going anywhere as long as they could sit at the feet of Jesus visibly. But when he's taken up and he promises to be with them everywhere at all times, now they can go. Or remember the charge that he gave them at the very end. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So as they headed to Jerusalem from the Mount of Ascension, Jesus' followers were not going from the ending, but they were headed to a new beginning marked by the proclamation of forgiveness and the promise of holy baptism. Luke makes this clear in the book of Acts when he says in the book of Acts that his gospel, Luke, was about everything that Jesus began to do and teach, which means that the book of Acts is about everything that Jesus continued to do and teach. Everything he began doing in his church from the time when he ascended and continues today. That's why the disciples were not afraid, they were not scared, but they devoted themselves to prayer, even after Jesus was ascended into heaven. I think sometimes we forget this point as Christians. Sometimes we do feel like we've been left alone and he is far away. We live in fear and in dread of what is or of what is coming. But the ascension is the time when we need to remember that we are not to live in fear. The king sits on his throne, and he is ruling, and he is reigning. So the ascension is not about Jesus' absence, but it's about his presence. It is about him being present with his people in a new and powerful way. He promised that there was going to be no power vacuum when he left, because he said, "I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you." He said to the disciples, "Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." We also heard him say, "You will receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth." Jesus going means the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit is the means by which Jesus Christ, his work, and his person remain present with us today. And he continues the work that Jesus began. How? By proclaiming the forgiveness of sins. How? By baptizing in the triune name. How does the Holy Spirit continue? In the fellowship of the Lord's table. You today already, and coming still, have heard and seen the work of Jesus Christ ascended on high, sending the Holy Spirit, because you heard the absolution. It is through the Holy Spirit that our Lord exercises his authority as God's right-hand man on our behalf. What I want you to hear and know is that Jesus is not passive, but he is active. He is active in forgiving sins. He is active in being with his baptized. He is active in strengthening us by his body and blood. All the gifts of his incarnation, of his suffering, his death, his bodily resurrection, they belong to us and they come to us through the Holy Spirit. And since Jesus promised to send the Comforter who will stand with us and strengthen us, his ascension is a day of rejoicing. And so when we pray, "Come, Lord Jesus," we're not praying for our Lord to return from some distant land. What we're really doing is asking for him to complete the work which he began and is even now doing in his church. Bring it to fulfillment, bring it to completion. We rejoice now, even on ascension, for he has not left us alone in our brokenness or in our trials. While we wait for his return, we receive the gifts which he gave in his ascension. You remember when Elijah was taken up and Elisha was left behind, what did Elijah do? He left behind his cloak. He gave a full and abundant portion of his spirit. So it is with Jesus. When our greater Elijah was taken up, he left for his people on earth the full gift of his spirit in anticipation of his return. Among the gifts that Christ gave were the men who watched the ascension, those disciples. Weak though they were, fallen though they were his gift. It is their writings, their recollections that we have in the New Testament, the apostolic teaching. And even today, Jesus appoints men, as he did then, to bear the keys of his kingdom, with authority to proclaim his forgiveness and to announce salvation and eternal life. And he gives us his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He gives that Spirit to us in baptism to seal us as his own. He gives the Spirit as a down payment of the room which he even now prepares for us in his Father's house. And he gave the gift of his own body and blood in the Lord's Supper, the gifts of the ascended Christ for you. Our prayer of "Come, Lord Jesus," actually is focused on these gifts even as we await their fulfillment in the heavenly kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, and he comes in his absolution and in baptism and in Holy Communion and in the gathering of the saints. Before Jesus was carried up into heaven, what was the last thing that he did that Luke tells us? It says that he blessed his disciples. He raised his hands in blessing. That same benediction, those same good words that he spoke, are words that he speaks to us in the service today. The blessing which he gave to the disciples is a blessing that never ends. That is the last picture they have of him, because that is the way that our Lord remains toward his church. It goes on and on and on, that blessing, into eternity. Wherever his word is preached, wherever his sacraments are administered, goes on here today. Because where his means of grace are present, there Jesus is also. They may not look like much. Baptism is a little bit of water. Holy Communion, a little bit of bread and wine. It may not look like much, but we believe by his word that these are the great and precious means by which Jesus is here. So if today we pray as repentant sinners, if we pray as those who are constantly tempted by the devil, if we pray as those who suffer the assaults of the world, if we feel the pressure of a society that would have us fear men rather than God, then receive your Lord Jesus Christ, who gives to you the forgiveness of sins won by his own precious life. Commune here with the one who stands with you against all the forces of darkness. For he says, come, receive the very body and blood of your risen and ascended Lord. If we pray as those who are lost at sea in a confusing world, if we suffer some need of body or spirit and wish for his deliverance, if we lack wisdom this day, then receive your Lord Jesus Christ, who offers himself to you and the promise of all that is yet to come, who says, come, receive the very body and blood of your risen and ascended Lord. If we pray as those who are alone, as those who long for the presence of our living Lord, if we sorrow over family and friends who are distant and mourn the death of loved ones, if we feel forsaken and despised, then receive here in this house your Lord Jesus Christ, who is really present for you, who says, come, receive the very body and blood of your risen and ascended Lord. And for those of you who are still waiting to receive Holy Communion, who are young or going through instruction now, know that the Lord is here and he invites you to receive his blessing, looking ahead to that day when you receive this precious gift. The truth is that it is better to be with our Lord, and that is why we are gathered here on this Ascension Day. Because on this Ascension Day, we gather around our Lord and the gifts that he gives and the places where he promised to be, where he is continually present as God and man, as the one who is enthroned, ruling over all things, as the one who is at work for us. He is here, just as he promised. And we gather around these gifts not only today, but week after week, praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We gather around these gifts until the time when we see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So we do not grieve over his ascension, but we rejoice in the work of our Lord, in the gifts that he gives, and in his presence with us, even as we continue to pray, come, Lord Jesus, longing for the full enjoyment of his kingdom. In Jesus' name.